The last case this morning is 2021-266, State of Ohio versus Jerry L. Moore, Sr. For the appellant, Mr. Bogdanoff.
Thank you, Your Honor.
May it please the court, my name is Philip Bogdanoff. I represent the State of Ohio. I am also joined here by Diane Bray from the Ohio Attorney General's Office. We're going to split our time. I will use 10 minutes and then she'll use five, and I think we have an extra 5 minutes and we'll use that for rebuttal. In this case, the Sixth District Court of Appeals reversed the defendant's conviction for retaliation, indicating that there was insufficient evidence, and also reversed the other convictions because there was not venue. State believes that there's two issues before this court. Was an element of the crime of retaliation committed in Erie County? And second, was there a sufficient nexus between the defendant and Erie County? Here, the trial court found that venue was proper. The scope of review is this court must look at the evidence most favorable to the state in determining whether or not the state proved venue. The elements of retaliation under 2921.05B indicate that no person purposely and by unlawful threat of harm to any person shall retaliate against the victim of a crime because the victim filed or prosecuted charges. Here, that element of filed or prosecuting charges was committed in Erie County.
The filing was in Erie County?
That is correct, Your Honor.
So you're saying the offense was the filing of the charges, and so then the venue for the crime is where the charges were filed.
Correct, Your Honor. And there's no question that's an element of the crime. The Sixth District Court of Appeals doesn't argue that's an element. What they said is that the statute had to indicate where these charges were filed. The venue statute is self-executing. It's where the element was committed. As a matter of fact,
And the element here being the filing.
The filed or prosecuted. It says filed or prosecuted. And they're both done in Erie County. And there's no question that the appellee does not adopt the position of the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals. Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals says you have to have something about the location in the statute. And that really does not make any sense. This venue statute is self-executing. You look at to where the element was committed. This court has indicated that you can have venue in more than one location. State versus Chilipali. And that was a support case where the defendant was living in a different jurisdiction, but he was filing the support in Erie County because the court order was in Erie County. This court indicated you can have venue in two or more locations. And here we do have venue in two or more locations. We have venue in Marion County, and we also have venue in Erie County. So you have venue in two different locations. The second issue is, was there a nexus between the defendant and Erie County? And even though the defendant was incarcerated in Erie County, he is still, under the law, a resident of Erie County. Everything about this case involved Erie County. The defendant lived in Erie County. The victim lived in Erie County. They were divorced in Erie County. The prior felonious assault and kidnapping occurred in Erie County. The killing was to occur in Erie County. The defendant actually drew a map of how Mr. Kaiser was to kill the victim in Erie County. These were all Erie County maps. It was investigated by Erie County law enforcement.
But I still don't understand how an element was committed in Erie County. The statute says that it requires a purposeful, unlawful threat of harm against the victim because the victim filed or prosecuted criminal charges. I mean, the victim filing isn't, the threat has to be because of that, but I don't think anyone would say that the defendant committed the act in Erie County because that's where the victim filed the charges.
That's exactly what we're saying, Your Honor. That is an element of the crime. If we don't prove that the victim filed the charges, we don't have a crime of retaliation. That is an element, and the Sixth Circuit doesn't really dispute that's an element. That is an element of crime. And I think what the...
But aren't elements something that the defendant has to commit?
No, it does not. And that's the argument set forth by the appellee, that only the defendant can commit an element of the crime. Elements of the crime are defined by the legislature. And the legislature, in this case, defined an element of the crime that the victim filed or prosecuted charges. That's what they do. They define elements. And they define an element based on the victim filing or prosecuting charges. This is a very victim-oriented statute. We're trying to protect victims from being killed or murdered. And that's exactly what happened in this case. This victim was afraid, deathly afraid, of the defendant. She thought she was going to be killed. She worried about it every day. And here you have this statute that is in place to protect her. And I think as a policy matter, should the defendant travel to Erie County where he lived, where he worked, where he committed the prior offense, or should we have the victim travel to Marion? I think the legislature indicated that they were going to have the defendant travel to where the victim was. The victim always lived in Erie County. And that is an element of the crime, even though it is something the victim does. But also you have to realize, even though the victim has to file the charges or prosecute the charges, it's based on the defendant's acts. In a way, the defendant picked the venue in this case by assaulting, kidnapping, and shooting at the victim in Erie County. He's the one that chose the venue in this case. He's the one that started this. She is filing charges because of the defendant's actions. And that is why we have venue in Erie County. And I cited a case, the Chilipali case, where it indicated venue can be in two or more venues. I also cited the State versus Wright case, which cites the Chilipali, and that was an interference with custody case. Once again, the defendant did not set foot in the jurisdiction where he was prosecuted. It was based on a court order that indicated that the defendant did not have custody of the child. And since that court order was in Athens County, the court found that venue was in Athens County. The defendant argues that this case is moot, that because the appellate court found that there was insufficient evidence of retaliation, that therefore you cannot have a course of conduct, that basically indicating that since the retaliation was reversed, you no longer have a continuing course of conduct. The state believes that that argument does not have any weight. However, I think it does bring up the issue, and this court could certainly rule that there is sufficient evidence of the retaliation. It's very ironic that the court reversed the retaliation conviction on an element that is not in the statute. There is a judicially imposed element by the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals that the victim must receive notice, either directly or indirectly, of the threat. That is not in the statute.
We didn't accept that proposition of law on the sufficiency.
That is correct, Your Honor. But now the defendant is arguing that this issue is moot and it's back before you. You could, without reversing the conviction, you could at least indicate that this element is not an element of the crime. Elements are supposed to be in the statute. They're not supposed to be judicially created by an appellate court.
Wouldn't that be just an advisory opinion then?
It would be an advisory opinion, but it would still be an opinion. I do not believe that we should be adding elements. The prosecutor should be able to look at a statute and know what the elements are. And that didn't happen in this case. And now you have defense counsel saying this case is moot because the prosecutor did not prove an element that was not in the statute. And that's exactly their argument. They want to moot this case out. So since this issue is before you on their argument of mootness, I would ask you to rule on that we should not have judicially imposed elements of a crime that the victim must learn of the threat. This threat was real, it was made, it was taken seriously, and therefore there was a crime of retaliation, and this court should indicate in their language, even without a reversal of the Sixth Circuit, that that language is improper to say that this issue is not moot. So it is before you, even though you did not take it for jurisdiction. The second argument on that exact issue is it's not moot because we determine venue at the time the case goes to trial. If, for instance, this case, if you have a count that would be found not guilty by the jury, you then don't dismiss the rest of the counts because you no longer have a course of continuing conduct. You consider whether or not you have venue based on, at the time of trial, whether or not there is a good faith charge in the indictment that would give you venue on a continuing course of conduct pursuant to the statute 2901.12, which indicates that you can have a continuing course of conduct as long as one element of the crime was committed in Erie County. Here, that one element of the crime was that the victim filed and prosecuted the charges against the defendant in Erie County. In conclusion, Your Honor, I think that the victim in this case deserves protection. The legislature defines the elements of the crime. Here, they set forth a very victim-oriented offense to protect victims. They set forth a retaliation statute. And here, one of those elements is that you have an element of crime where the victim files or prosecuted charges. That was done in Erie County in this case. The second requirement is that there's a nexus between Erie County and the defendant. The state has shown that, and therefore, venue was proper in Erie County. I ask this court to affirm the convictions for attempted murder and conspiracy murder because venue was properly in Erie County. I'm going to ask Diane Bray to come up here and argue this case, and I'll save the remaining time for rebuttal. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Bray?
Good morning, Chief Justice, Justices, may it please the court. The state needs to know where it may bring a criminal prosecution, and that's what venue is for. It sets the place where a criminal case may be tried. The government must prove that some act or occurrence that's a part of the crime happened in the county. At the time that a case is initiated, the state would show probable cause to believe that that an element of the crime or one of the crimes charged happened in that county, and that would show that the venue is proper for the trial of the case. In this case, the venue was based on a retaliation charge and on an element which, as my colleague recited, cites that the retaliation must be because of the victim's filing or prosecuting criminal charges. The because of language shows that there is the causation element. It links the earlier filed charges to what the defendant is doing now. And our view is that provides sufficient basis for venue in this case, and that the venue accordingly was correct, not only for the retaliation charge, but for all of the charges in this case, because it was a continuing course of criminal conduct under Ohio Revised Code, Section 2901.12H. There was some discussion of mootness and the fact that the Court of Appeals reversed for sufficiency of the evidence, the retaliation charge, but note that the Court of Appeals reversed that on a different element than the element that the state is using to base venue in this case. It was reversed on the threat of harm element, but there was no dispute ever that there was a prior prosecution that had been filed in Erie County, and that is the evidence here that provides the basis for venue in this case for all of the charges on that basis. But Chintapali case does provide another example of how an offense can be venued in a county, even if the defendant in that case never, in terms of the events there, set foot in that county. That was based on a child support order, and the fact that the defendant and the spouse and the family had once lived there, and he no longer paid support. But if you look at the statute for child support that was at issue there, there was no specific element that said anything about that you had even to prove a court order. And here you certainly do for the retaliation charge. And whatever the rule for proper venue, the consequences of improper venue leaves open the possibility of prosecution in the right venue, certainly as to the two charges that were only dismissed for venue reasons, the attempt charge and the conspiracy charge. The continuing course of conduct here supported prosecution of all of the charges and the venue in the Erie County Court. And frankly, the fact that the victim lived there and that the scheme was directed there just makes this an easier case for venue than some other cases. This did not contravene our venue statute. And if you think about it in terms of remedy, what would be the remedy for an improper venue? A natural remedy is to transfer the case to the proper county, but not to dismiss it or do it in such a way that would call into question what could be done next. And we do have in Rule 12J and in Section 294508, we do have statutes that allow for that to be done if a venue problem is recognized during the case. And in terms of the other charges, we wanted to at least make clear that a reversal of a conviction or even an acquittal for lack of proof of venue cannot mean the same thing as an acquittal for double jeopardy purposes. How do we know that? Well, this court has long said that venue is not a material element of the offense. That's in the Drago case, the Headley case, and others. It's been the law for a long time. And it is a matter that is separate from the elements. For double jeopardy purposes, we look at the elements of the offense as in the Blockberger test. So therefore, this court's case in Hampton's reference to an acquittal on venue must have meant acquittal in a different sense than for double jeopardy purposes, because, as we know, venue is not an element of the offense. And if this court has no further question, we would ask the court to reverse and reinstate the convictions for the attempt and the conspiracy charges.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Counsel.
Thank you, Chief Justice. Justices, good morning. May it please the court. What the Attorney General's office just said is why this case is moot and shouldn't or couldn't be ruled on properly at all here. That's because she did not appeal whether the acquittal was improper for retaliation. They consistently, throughout this case, from the indictment onward, admitted that retaliation was the pin for the venue for the course of conduct for the other two charges, the attempt to commit murder and the conspiracy to commit murder. So they would have you find course of venue for two charges that they admitted, even in the indictment, didn't occur in Erie County at all. Yet they still want to pin venue for a course of conduct for those charges on a non-existent offense, on an offense for which he was acquitted. So consistently, this court, ever since Headley, which made clear that the nexus test is not the sole test for venue, Headley in 1983 made clear that an element of the offense has to have occurred in the county. And if the offense did not occur, where is the course of conduct? One thing I found interesting, and this is a side note, is that neither party argued today that a course of conduct can be based on prior acts, right? So that even if there isn't a retaliation offense that exists, it's still a course of conduct. So uncharged conduct would also count, as they argued in brief, because there simply isn't any rule that ever says that. In fact, the 2901.H, the H section of the venue statute, specifically says the defendant may be tried for those offenses. This is the course of conduct statute. So those offenses in the plain language of the course of conduct statute specifically refers only to charged conduct. Now, if the indictment contains the allegation pinning venue, then it's the case survives a motion to dismiss, as it did here. But on a criminal 29 motion, when the defendant argues that there was no proof of venue, then the state's it has to fail, because there was an acquittal for the offense that the course of conduct was pinned on. I'd then like to go back to what Justice DeWine keyed in on, in the plain language of the retaliation statute. And this is key. The elements of the retaliation statute are that the defendant purposely, by unlawful threat of harm, retaliated because the victim filed or prosecuted criminal charges. That word "because" in the statutory language modifies and explains the defendant's conduct and is no way dependent on what the victim did or where the victim did it. Okay?
But in this case, she filed it in Erie County. She's got to file it someplace. And she filed it in Erie County. And that's where the consequences befell him, in Erie County, correct?
In the prior case,
yes.
Yes. When she prosecuted charges in Erie County.
Okay, and he went to trial in Erie County?
For the prior charges,
okay.
Yes.
Found guilty in Erie County?
He actually entered a plea.
Okay, whatever. Well, then he was found guilty. Okay. So he has a nexus with Erie County because of that, and her requirement was that she file something in Erie County for him to retaliate, why he would retaliate against her, correct?
But he is not doing anything in Erie County. He could be anywhere in the world.
But isn't it because of her complaint and file and prosecution against him? Isn't that what he is angry or upset about?
That may be what he's upset about. That's a requirement under the statute. But that is part of the mens rea of the defendant, not dependent on where the victim did it.
Where the victim did what?
Where the victim filed those prior charges doesn't matter. It's where the defendant committed the act, not where the
victim
did something.
Which act?
Retaliation. And here he didn't even commit retaliation, and that issue isn't before this court. As it stands procedurally, the retaliation offense no longer exists. There was an acquittal on it. So even if this court agrees with the state that venue for retaliation can be where the victim filed charges, even though that's not an element of the offense at all, There would still be an acquittal for all of the other things because there's no course of conduct. The leg, the pin that the state used for this course of conduct has been retaliation, and when that is gone, there is no course of conduct. I believe the Sixth District erred in this respect and should not have moved on to determine on a criminal 29 motion whether an element of the offense occurred in that venue for determining whether venue exists, because the offense does not exist. If that's true, here's the problem. You have a criminal 29 motion. The defendant should be acquitted of the charge pinning the course of conduct. And in order to determine whether the other charges should still be pinned to that now non-existent offense, the court has to look at whether any element of the non-existent offense occurred, right? But that didn't occur. So here's the interesting thing. Criminal 7 allows an indictment to be amended at any time, even after trial. So what's preventing the state from at trial saying, well, we didn't prove it for that, so, you know, but we're going to prove it for something else, you know, and amend these allegations. We didn't, you know, we might not have had proof of that offense, but, you know, we'll add something else. As long as the nature or identity of the crime doesn't change, that amendment can be amended. The indictment could be amended, excuse me.
I guess the problem I have with your theory is venues decide whether it's proper at the time in which the indictment or complaint is filed, right? So under your theory, say you had someone who committed three murders, one in Franklin County, one in Delaware County, and one in Licking County. Is alleged to have committed three murders. The state indicts him on all three, indicts him in Franklin County, which would be proper, in course of conduct, and the jury ultimately comes back and finds that him guilty of the murders in Delaware and Licking County, but finds that while he shot the person in Franklin County, it was actually self-defense. So he's acquitted of that charge. You wouldn't say that, okay, now venue wasn't proper at all, and we have to dismiss the other two murders for which there was a conviction.
If the only thing pinning venue in Franklin County was the Franklin County offense, and that offense...
But there's not one shred of case law, there's not any case ever that said that, right? I mean, you have nothing to support that other than your theory now.
True, and there isn't a case that agrees with the state either, interestingly. This case is unique in how it's postured. So that's why I focus on the mootness issue, because even if the state is correct here, if the court reverses all of the convictions, then implicitly what this court is saying is that venue for course of conduct can be pinned on a non-existent offense, or an offense for which the defendant is acquitted. That implicit premise would be a result of you ruling in the state's favor here.
Well, but isn't that the natural consequence of the rule that venue is decided not after the fact, but at the time that someone's indicted?
It's decided initially at the time someone's indicted, so the indictment will survive a motion to dismiss for lack of venue. But a defendant can still succeed on a criminal 29 motion if the state failed to prove that an element of the offense occurred. And that is what we have here, is that the defendant was on appeal acquitted of retaliation. The court said
but
that.
But that was because didn't they base that on the fact that she didn't receive notice?
Not only that, but I want to point out that with all due respect to my colleague here, the state inaccurately described what the is required for retaliation. It's not just that the defendant had notice. It's actually more victim-oriented than that. It's that whether the defendant expected or could reasonably expect the victim to find out about it, which makes sense for retaliation, Right, because the harm would be the victim knowing about it, and the offense has to be what the defendant did, so the defendant expect the victim to know about it. That is retaliation. Here, it's the opposite. The state alleged that Mr. Moore tried to solicit another inmate to murder his ex-wife. The whole nature of a murder-for-hire case is that the victim doesn't know about it. That the victim know about it, or that the defendant had the criminal intent that the victim be aware of it, that's where the harm to the victim comes in. If a defendant was standing in a room by himself and said, I want to kill Mr. Smith, right? And Mr. Smith is somewhere else. That person doesn't expect that Mr. Smith is going to hear those statements, and Mr. Smith hasn't been harmed, right, by that threat. Even though it was a threat, it wasn't reasonably expected that the victim would know about it, and that is the criminal intent that the retaliation offense requires. So it's not that it's not an express element in the statute, it's simply a matter of the type of criminal intent that's specific to retaliation.
Counsel, I want to follow up on the timing of the finding of venue. We got the indictment, says venue in Erie County, right? And we got a conviction, right? At trial, after trial, conviction of finding of Erie County. So you were saying that, you have a right to argue wasn't proper, insufficient evidence, right, of the county. You can argue that on appeal. But I'm following up on Justice DeWine's question. When does that venue issue show? What are you asking us to write, that whenever somebody finds no venue, then every other matter under the indictment goes away under these facts?
Under the course of conduct statute, yes, under Section H.
Even if it's at our level?
Section 8H requires the state show proof.
I understand that.
Right?
And it was insufficiency found at the Court of Appeals, right?
Correct.
But we do have findings of proper venue, or at least the allegations of them, and the indictment. And we have a finding of conviction.
Headley, in 1983, this court made very clear that the Drago nexus test is not sufficient, that the state has to prove that an element of the offense occurred. And if after trial on appeal that the appellate court sees that there was no evidence, the state failed to prove that at trial, then that is an acquittal. And Headley reaffirmed that is acquittal.
But what I'm talking about, you got an indictment with many different counts. When should the system make that determination of proper venue or improper venue, depending on how you look at it?
If the defendant files a motion to dismiss prior to trial, then that can be decided simply by looking at the indictment. But after the state has the opportunity to submit to the court in trial all of the evidence it has, and if the state has failed to show that that county has the right to reach out and grab and prosecute and punish that defendant, even though the defendant did nothing there, then that has to be an acquittal. So it should be decided at that moment, at the Rule 29 moment.
But here, there was no Rule 29 moment during trial.
There was. It was argued at trial.
But lost.
But lost, correct.
And that's what I'm getting to. There was a conviction here, right?
Right.
So there was a finding by the finder of fact that venue was proper.
But there was no proof by the state that venue was proper.
On appeal.
Correct, because that offense does not exist. And the appellate court can acquit on appeal for insufficient evidence.
Sure.
That would be a due process violation. It would likely be also a due process violation to say, well, a jury said that you were guilty, even though you weren't really guilty. So since the jury said you were guilty, that satisfies the venue requirement, right? That
that's
jurors
what I'm getting
in
to,
that
is
county
when,
say so.
Is when does this determination hold?
I guess I'm not understanding Your Honor's question.
Well, Justice DeWine was asking you, you know, you got the indictment, says Erie County, right? And you got the conviction, Erie County, and you got these other counts with it. All you need is, are you going to eliminate all cases where the losing count, here retaliation, in Erie County eliminates the entire case?
If it would be that way for the state, then all that a prosecutor would have to do is allege an offense in the indictment for which it may know there's insufficient evidence, flipping a coin whether or not there would be a conviction at trial.
Which would violate Rule 11.
Right, and it would still be sufficient for the other offenses. So this is also an issue of forum shopping. And not to go too far off into the weeds, Your Honor, but this is a very long-standing historical protection. And
it's in the Constitution.
Correct. And it's a protection, I believe, not just for the defendant to be prosecuted in the county where the offense was committed, but it's also a right of the county where the offense was committed to prosecute that defendant. So here, Marion County had the right to prosecute Mr. Moore. Erie County did not. Marion and a county has the right not only to choose to prosecute someone, but also choose to not prosecute someone. So Erie County, you know, you can think of it as mere stepping on toes, but what it amounts to is we're going to say whenever a victim files charges, so in a criminal court of appeal, a criminal trial court, lots of criminals files charges, lots of victims. Anytime something happens to that victim later, that court and that county has the ability to reach out and grab the defendant no matter where he is in the world, because that's where the victim is. Even though they admit that everything the defendant did wherever else in the world he was happened somewhere else and not in that county. The county where the defendant committed the act has venue because that county has a right to prosecute and make those decisions over sentencing that defendant, where the community in which
the crime does the county
occurred.
Where the criminal charges were filed, does it have an interest in protecting that?
If that were true, Your Honor, then anytime something happened to victims in a county where the victim previously prosecuted charges, that prosecutor now has, you know, some kind of obligation
or retaliation.
And a right to do that. I don't believe so, Your Honor, because consistently for every offense, it's where proof of where an element of what defendant did.
I was just going to your argument about policy of the county deciding not to prosecute or prosecute. I'm trying to find out what you're saying about Erie County trying to defend the right to prosecute, to bring claims, counts in Erie County in the first case. Isn't that also a policy?
Erie County, by the rules of venue, every case decided by this court has said that that county, where if no element of an offense occurred in that county does not have the right to prosecute.
I agree with that.
Okay.
But I'm saying the other side's saying it is an element, right? That's what their argument
they're
is.
They're saying that an element of the offense is what the victim did.
Correct. That's what they're saying.
Which simply isn't true. A plain reading of the retaliation statute's language says the defendant had to, for retaliation, purposefully, by unlawful threat of harm, retaliate because the victim filed or prosecuted criminal charges, full stop, period. So it's not because the victim filed or prosecuted charges in Erie County. Location is not a part of any of the elements of the retaliation offense. So because if that were so, then the legislature would have intended Erie County to be able to prosecute the offense of retaliation, and the legislature would be saying to the county where the defendant actually committed, or you know, is alleged to have committed the offense, right, doesn't have the right to prosecute that defendant. But the legislature didn't say that.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Counsel, you have about 2.5 minutes.
Thank you, Your Honor. Well, the state disagrees with the defense counsel's argument that you must put in the venue statute or the statutory where the charges were filed. The venue statute self-executing, it's fact that she filed charges. Where did she file charges? She filed in Erie County. There was an element of the crime of retaliation committed in Erie County to file the charges. And when you look at that statute, you also look, there's a victim. Where was the victim in this case? The victim was also in Erie County. The only element that was reversed on is an element that is not in the statute, that the victim had to receive notice. And again, that's not in the statute. That is a court-imposed element. When you look at the elements that the state proved, we did prove the fact that the crime or the prior offense where she prosecuted charges was in Erie County. There's no question about that. The fact that we didn't prove some other element, you still have the one element for the course of continuing conduct. That's all that's required under the venue statute, one element of the crime. Here we had the one element, the fact that, actually we had two elements, the victim resided in Erie County, but also the fact that she prosecuted charges in Erie County. So that element is still there regardless of the reversal. To answer Judge DeWine's question, if you had a serial killer and he committed 10 homicides, one was in Franklin County, the Franklin County was reversed on appeal, and according to her argument, the other 9 convictions would be reversed if the trial was in Franklin County. And Judge DeWine said, what case law do you have to support that? And the answer to that is none. This is their argument on mootness, has absolutely no case law support. She is saying anytime you have a reversal on a course of conduct, all other counts, all other charges that are based on a course of conduct should be reversed because that conviction never existed. And I think what she's saying, it's void. It's like completely gone. It's not void. When you have a reversal from the appellate court, it's basically, you are saying it's a voidable conviction. The indictment stands, the conviction stands, as you were indicating, it is not a void indictment. It still existed. So when you look at her argument regarding mootness, it just does not make any sense. It does not have any case law support, and you were to adopt it, it would have very, very serious ramifications in that you would have multiple convictions thrown out because one offense did not have venue. I don't think this court wants to adopt that reasoning without any case law support. I think when you look at this case, you will find that the appellate court committed error. There was an element of the crime committed in Erie County. It is an element that she filed charges or prosecuted charges in Erie County.
Well, counsel, if say we agree with you about the Erie County venue, but the Sixth District said that the evidence of retaliation was against the manifest weight of the evidence, correct?
Correct.
Okay,
well,
so
insufficient, Your Honor.
Insufficient, okay. And they said that that was based on their reading of the what's necessary in the statute of retaliation, which is knowledge by the victim.
Correct.
Okay. If we say that that was erroneous on their part to believe that the victim, or read the statute that way, that the victim had to have notice, then what?
Again, Your Honor, I would, if you're asking me, I would reverse that decision. I think this court has the authority to reverse that decision. I would ask it to do so, or to give an advisory opinion that that is wrong so that in further cases, we will not have that language. I think the Sixth Circuit should not be creating elements where they do not exist in the legislature. And again, we ask for that issue to be adopted by this court. I remember some case law from a long time ago that once this court had jurisdiction of the case, it had jurisdiction of the case, and you can make any ruling in the case. Unfortunately, I could not find that case law. But you do have this entire case before you. If you want supplemental briefing on that issue, the state would be happy to do that. But I think that is an injustice for the Sixth Circuit to add an element to the crime that is not there in the legislature. And that's exactly what they did. So I'd ask this court either to allow supplemental briefing on this issue or to take the case and just indicate to the Sixth Circuit that this was an improper decision, even though it would not reverse the Sixth Circuit's decision that there was insufficient evidence. So the defendant would still have 20 years instead of 22 years. But I do believe there's an injustice there. But finally, just to summarize, Your Honor, in this case, there was an element committed in Erie County. She did prosecute charges in Erie County, and there was a nexus. Defense counsel said, well, the defendant could be anywhere. No, because there's a nexus between the defendant and the county, he would have to have a connection to Erie County. And we proved that in this case. He committed the prior charges in Erie County. He lived in Erie County. He had his business in Erie County. Technically, he was still resident of Erie County, even though he was in prison. So everything in this case breathes and lives Erie County.
Thank you.
It was a nexus. Thank you very much. I would ask this court to reverse the lower court's decision.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Marshall, will you adjourn court, please?
All rise. Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. This open session of the Honorable Supreme Court of Ohio now stands adjourned.